This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For the past 12 years, the St. Louis Theater Circle has recognized and honored the best of professional theater in St. Louis. This year's annual gala will take place on Monday, March 24th at the Loretto Hilton Center for the Performing Arts on the campus of Webster University. 112 productions in 34 categories are contenders for this year's awards, and here to discuss the state of local theater and to unveil some of this year's nominees are two members of the St. Louis Theater Circle. First, we have CB Adams, who writes for PopLifeSTL.com and St. Louis Art Scene on Substack. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
We also have Chuck Lavazzi, formerly of KDHX, and who also writes for the St. Louis Arts Scene on Substack and Stage Left blog. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Thank you. In fact, I'm the chief cook and bottle washer at Substack. So.
Many, many duties as assigned.
Yes.
Now, toward the end of this conversation, we will have a full list of the nominees on our website at stlpr.org/2024theater. Now, before we get into some of the nominations, I recall that last year, our conversation, our edition of this conversation, that is, it started out with some discussion about the Repertory Theater of St. Louis and its financial problems, and that forced some productions to be curtailed and others to be canceled entirely. How is the Rep doing now, Chuck?
I think they're doing much better now. Really. They seem to me to have righted the ship, so to speak. I think they've done a really kind of impressive recovery, it seems to me. I think CB's nodding at me there, and he agrees.
Yeah, I agree. And the shows that I saw at the Rep, hardly any empty seats, which
yes.
I think is good. And I would also say that Kate Bergstrom, artistic director, she's reached out to the reviewing community last summer and
yes.
Just wanted to kind of put herself in front of us. And I think that really helped a lot as well for us to know what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they have hit the right balance of material. And also, I think I say this as someone who's been going to the Rep for over four decades now. This feels like a return in many ways back to when they were an actual repertory company mm-hmm. here in St. Louis. And we're talking way back in the 70s and early 80s in the Molly Chappelle days. But it feels a lot more local than it has in a while, especially from an actor standpoint. We're seeing more local actors.
Okay.
So I think this is wonderful.
That's a great point. I think that it's grounded very much here in what is local.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the local, CB, how would you describe the state of St. Louis's theater scene right now?
I think it's vibrant, and it's deep as well. What impresses me is, you know, we have the sort of the big tent pole, you know, the Munis, the Foxes, you know, of that or whatever, you know, all the way down to a lot of very small independent theater companies. I was just at Greenfinch Theater and Dive Bar, which mm-hmm. Launched two new plays, mm-hmm. You know, very small little venue, you know, some fantastic work. So there's the whole gamut of, you know, theatrical experiences available to St. Louis, and I think it's there's a lot of good energy I'm picking up.
Mm-hmm. And as a fun fact, the Greenfinch is located where the Way Out Club
yes,
used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
yes. As we noted in the introduction, this year's awards covered 34 categories with approximately 112 productions up for consideration. And the Muni, one of those tent poles that you talked about, CB, garnered the most nominations, 30 of them, in fact. And it earned nominations for all seven of its productions in 2024. Chuck, how unusual is it for all of a company's productions in a single season to be up for this kind of recognition?
You know, my memory doesn't tell me the stats on that, but it is certainly not a frequent occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And the Muni, again, this is... something where I've been going to Muni shows for, you know, 40 years or more, and they have had their ups and downs over the years, but boy, the last several seasons there, I think, have been very strong.
Yeah. So let's get then to the nominees for Outstanding Production of a Musical. And I will read those off. First, we have Anastasia, the musical by Tesseract Theatre Company, Disney's Newsies, stages St. Louis, Fiddler on the Roof, the Muni, Ragtime, stages St. Louis, and Waitress, the Muni. So of those, I mean, was there one CB that struck you as being sort of a reflection of the moment?
Fiddler on the Roof would be my choice out of that, with a close second with Newsies.
Okay.
Those were my top picks out of those that list.
And what was it that made those stand out?
Newsies just had a fantastic energy. It was a young cast. You know, they filled the stage, and it was really vibrant. And it had been probably a couple of decades since I saw a production of Fiddler on the Roof, and this one was just so beautifully staged and incredibly well acted, and it was just a moving experience. It's one of my top five theatrical experiences of the year.
Oh, wow. Well, critics are often known not to agree with one another. Chuck, do you agree with what CB has said about these nominations?
I did not see enough of them to really offer a qualified comment. I should point out that most of what I see for the theater circle these days would be operas.
Okay.
Because I am, for the past few years, I've been more of a music critic, especially I write a lot about the symphony, than theater. So I really can't address that, but I do know that of those shows, I know what my favorite script of those is, and that's Ragtime.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's not because I've done it twice.
All right. So opera then, what is it about local opera in 2024, Chuck, that maybe renewed some of your love and sparked something maybe you haven't felt in a while?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many possibilities. I'm trying to recall everything that we nominated. I thought we had a very strong season at Opera Theater this past year. We got a very strong season coming up. I know tomorrow you're going to be talking to some of the folks from the New Works Collective.
Yes.
This is a tremendous thing. I'll let them really push it, but I love what that has done. Opera is very active in St. Louis, and for a city this size to have three professional opera companies. We're talking, of course, Opera Theatre St. Louis, Union Avenue Opera, and Winter Opera St. Louis, and they each have slightly different focuses.
Right.
So we get to see a lot of interesting stuff. Winter Opera brings us things like classic musical theater that we never see, old Jerome Kern shows, things like that. HMS Pinafore, yeah. Opera Theater does new works and traditional works. Union Avenue, which I have a soft spot for because I've been in two of their shows, but they do a nice mix of traditional opera and some musicals like, you know, Ragtime and Into the Woods and so on. So I think we have a very lively and varied scene.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of new, there is a new category this year, and it is Outstanding Projections or Special Effects. CB, why was this added?
You were talking about the conversation that goes on amongst us reviewers. This has been coming up as a topic because we're just seeing more and more use of projections. My own belief is that I think a lot of theater now is trying to influenced by or informed by film, and so I think using projections is a way to enhance the theatrical experience. And we were just seeing more of it and more of it done extremely well. And I just thought that we just thought it was time to call it out as a specific category.
Yeah, the whole trend of digital sets, digital theater, is one of those things that has made it easier for small companies to do more elaborate productions. Opera theater, to some extent, was a pioneer in this. They did a ring cycle, a reduced version of the ring cycle that used projections a great deal. And they could never have done a ring cycle with physical sets.
Right,
just couldn't
right.
do it. So I think that broadens the possibilities for a lot of companies.
Mm-hmm. Including, one of the nominees, which was Longing, the play, which was Lizzie Louie's play that was produced at the Gaslight Theater. And I think that's the name of it. And, very small theater, but, a fantastic use of projections and sound.
Now, I want to get to another one of the categories. And I understand that very competitive category this year was production of a drama. The nominees for Outstanding Production of a Drama are All My Sons, New Jewish Theater, August, Osage County, Repertory Theater of St. Louis, Moby Dick, Repertory Theater of St. Louis, The Inheritance, Tesseract Theater Company, and Wedding Band by the Black Rep. CB, what is it that made this category particularly competitive?
Probably just the sheer amount of really good stuff, you know, to choose from. I wish the listeners could have been in on all the calls that we critics had as we were hashing through all this stuff, because it was some lively stuff, you know, and everybody was passionate about different plays. And, you know, different – that's one of the great things about live theater. It impacts different people different ways, and, you know, reviewers are people, so, you know, we each are going to have our own. And I think the ones that that made the cut, you know, you could spin a dial and any one of them, you know, would be worthy of taking the top honor, but they all deserve to be there.
It sounds like we could hear or see an opera that's all about the back and forth that you all have in the future.
If Rossini wrote it, maybe, or Gilbert and Sullivan.
So the St. Louis Theater Circle is awarding two Lifetime Achievement Awards this year, and those will go to Joe Hanrahan, founder and artistic director of the Midnight Theater Company, and Ron Himes, the founder and producing director of the Black Rep. So let's begin with Joe Hanrahan. What is it that made him deserving of this honor, Chuck?
Oh, well, Joe has been a fixture of the St. Louis theater scene for a long time. And he's kind of been a one-man band, producing his own shows, writing his own shows, appearing in them, and then also producing other shows that have not been seen here before. I really admire the amount that he has done here. Joe's he's a fun person. He's a great actor. I was on stage with him a few years ago. And I think the amount that he has done virtually on his own with very little help was really impressive. Mm-hmm. And he's broken some new ground. The cabaret theater hybrids that he's doing now at Blue Strawberry, I think, are really great.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think the guy's a real local treasure.
Yeah. And Ron Himes of the Black Rep, why a Lifetime Achievement Award for him, CB?
Oh, you know, he's such a fixture that it was so great that we brought his name up this year. I believe the Black Rep is celebrating their 47th season. I think that's about that right. And I know, talking about one-man band, I met him back in the 80s, but even before that, when he started Black Rep, he was a one-person kind of organization, and he's grown it into this, you know, very vibrant, very present, you know, theatrical organization here in town, and they produce plays that you don't see elsewhere. And you know, mm-hmm. he's a little bit of everything. I mean, he's an actor, he's a director, you know, and artistic director, you know, and just a very insightful, you know, theater professional.
Mm-hmm. We've just 1 minute left, Chuck. What is the production you're looking most forward to in 2025?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, Opera Theater is doing another Lynn Nottage and Ricky Ian Gordon collaboration, which I think should be fascinating stuff. Right. Again, new plays, so yeah.
And Lynn Nottage will actually be on the air when she's in town. CB, how about you?
I like a little theater company called Albion Theater, and later this year they're going to be doing I Have Been Here Before, a J.B. Priestley play, and I'm just looking forward to that. I'm picking up a good vibe on it.
Okay, great. C.B. Adams writes for the St. Louis art scene on Substack and for PopLifeSTL.com, and Chuck Lavazzi writes also for St. Louis art scene on Substack and Stage Left blog. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
You can see a full list of St. Louis Theater Circle nominees at stlpr.org/2024theater. The St. Louis Theater Circle's annual gala, where the winners will be announced, happens the evening of Monday, March 24th at the Loretta Hilton Center for the Performing Arts on the campus of Webster University. Ticket information is available at rep-stl.org.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.